spill and its cleanup expenses in the Gulf of Mexico. Also ahead, the leaders of the three Britain's main parties try to get more voter confidence in their final debate. And the French army says it has killed four Afghan civilians.
Well, it's 2:30 in the morning here in the capital, Tehran. You're watching another bulletin of World News and Press TV.
Thanks a lot for joining us. The U.S. President Barack Obama says British Petroleum is responsible for the cost of the massive oil spill cleanup in the Gulf of Mexico.
Briefings from members of my cabinet and White House staff, including an update last night on the additional breach and another update this morning. And while BP is ultimately responsible for funding the cost of response and cleanup operations, my administration will continue to use every single available resource at our disposal, including potentially the Department of Defense, to address the incident.
Well, Obama has said that his administration is using every single available resource to clean up the slick. His comments were made as oil continues to gush from near a Deepwater Horizon platform off the coast of Louisiana. The platform sank earlier this month, 2 days after it exploded, killing 12 workers. Louisiana's governor has declared a state of emergency. Now, the slick is expected to hit the coastline late on Friday. Reports say the slick is heading for land 5 times faster than previously thought. BP says the crisis is costing it.
In the U.S., civil rights groups say they will launch a legal challenge to Arizona's tough new immigration law. The American Civil Liberties Union, the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, and the National Immigration Law Center have announced the challenge. They've called the law unconstitutional and discriminatory. Last Friday, Arizona's Republican Governor Jan Brewer signed a measure into law that makes it a state crime to be in Arizona illegally. The law also requires Arizona police to question people on their immigration status. The law is due to come into effect in 90 days, despite strong criticism from President Barack Obama.
Well, the leaders of Britain's three main parties have taken part in their third and final round of televised debate ahead of the May 6th polls.
Well, now the debate's focus was the economy. Now, a conservative leader, David Cameron, said banks should be taxed and regulated. Civil Democratic Party chief Nick Clegg said a stronger and fairer economy should be built. Prime Minister Gordon Brown said he is the man who knows how to run the economy in good and bad times. Let me tell you what
I want. First, we've got to reward work and tackle welfare dependency. Second, we've got to fix our banks, tax them to get our money back, regulate them properly, and get them lending again. Third, we've got to start making things again in this country. It's no policy to just borrow from the Chinese and buy goods made in China. Fourth, we've actually got to get value for money in our public services.
We need to do things differently to build a new, stronger and fairer economy. The way they got us into this mess is not the way out. So we need to be frank about the cuts that will be needed so we can protect things like schools and hospitals. We'll need to break up our banking system so that irresponsible bankers can never again put your savings and your businesses at risk. We have to rediscover our passion for innovation, for building things, not just placing bets on the money markets, and we need fair taxes.
I do know how to run the economy in good times and in bad. When the banks collapsed, I took immediate action to stop crisis becoming calamity and to stop a recession becoming a depression. And as a result of that, Britain is now on the road to recovery. But as we meet tonight, economies in Europe are in peril, and there is a risk of dragging us into recession. So I'm determined that nothing will happen in Britain that will put us back in that position. Support the economy now, and you will ensure that there are jobs and a recovery, and ensure that we can have the resources for deficit reduction.
Mr. Brown. Thank you. Well, now we take our first question.
Well, the first two rounds of debates were disappointing for the ruling Labour Party. According to the polls, Clegg emerged as the undisputed winner, leaving Cameron as the runner-up and Brown in third place.
Well, after months of speculations, the European Union and the International Monetary Fund are finally agreeing on the details of an emergency plan to rescue Greece's economy. The EU, however, says it will scrutinize Greece at every stage of its economic reform before it helps out the debt-stricken nation.
The European Commission, the European Central Bank and the International Monetary Fund are about to conclude talks on an economic aid package for Greece.
In the past 10 days, the experts of the Commission, the ECB and the IMF have worked extremely effectively and hard with the Greek government and other authorities to work out a program that will reverse the debt spiral of Greece and restore its overall economic competitiveness.
The ECB.
The financial aid package is set to be extended into a three-year 120 billion euro deal to shore up confidence in the markets. But before any money can be transferred to Athens, the EU, the IMF and Greek officials have to agree on a painful program of financial reforms. Greek officials, unhappy with the reforms, say they could worsen the lives of pensioners and workers.
Today we realize we are at a done deal which was discussed in the absence of public sector workers. It is a decision that comes to worsen the lives of workers and pensioners even more.
Greece needs as much as 160 EU's failure to act quickly, and the IMF involvement could only complicate matters and lead to more problems.
There is not a way out, by the way, via the IMF. All that's going to do is the euro may be soft, but the real one is the IMF. They will smash the Greek people, and they will load it with more and more debt. So Greece is going to have to, in fact, find a new and original way out of it. What is happening in Greece is going to happen in Spain, and it's going to happen in Portugal, it's going to happen in Italy, and it may even happen in the UK. Greece is going to have to stand up and be counted, or it's going to be smashed down. And exactly the same, under slightly different circumstances, as in Iceland.
Well, foreign forces regularly try to write off killings of Afghan civilians, but this time a French army confession has made an exception.
Well, France has admitted its troops accidentally killed four civilians during a missile attack in Afghanistan. The French army says the firing of an anti-tank missile mistakenly killed the four on April the 6th. The French army claims the missile strike had been a joint French-Afghan operation to target the Taliban. Well, earlier, our Kabul correspondent Faiz Khorshid told us about the killings of Afghan civilians by foreign forces.
We see that such admissions will not calm the Afghan people, because as we see that the people are very, very angry, especially in eastern Afghanistan, as today hundreds of people took to the streets and protest against the killing of a civilian during a house nighttime raid. And I have to say that these four Afghan civilians were killed when the French soldiers launched rockets at the Taliban militants, but the rockets didn't reach the intended target and hit a residential area, and four Afghan civilians were killed. At that time, NATO headquarters and French armies called them militants, but now the French army admits that they were civilians. And this admission came just hours after hundreds of people took to the streets in Nangarhar province, eastern Afghanistan, in protest against the killing of an Afghan civilian during the house surge raid.
Well, Amnesty International slams Egypt's sentences against 26 men with alleged ties to the Lebanese resistance group Hezbollah. The London-based rights group says that the men who were detained between 2008 and 2009 should be retried by an ordinary court. The rights group says the convictions were based upon confessions made through torture. Now, the NGO says the process could give the men a fair trial. Hezbollah, too, has rejected the convictions.
Hezbollah Secretary General Seyed Hassan Nasrallah has strongly criticized the Egyptian court for jailing men accused of working for Hezbollah and vowed to seek all political and diplomatic means to secure their release. The 26 men were sentenced by the court for planning terrorist attacks on ships and tourist sites. Their terms range from 6 months to life. Seyed Hassan Nasrallah has admitted that Hezbollah member Mohammad Yusuf Mansour, better known as Sami Shihab, was sent to Egypt in December of 2008 to help with the Palestinians during the Israeli war on Gaza. However, the death penalty was not handed down, which, according to analysts, leaves this case open to further developments.
It's clear that the prisoners received the death penalty in order for the Egyptian government to leave the door open for a political solution, so somewhere down the line, these prisoners will probably be free.
The Egyptian prosecutor said Hezbollah had ordered the men to collect intelligence from villages along the Egypt-Gaza border, tourist sites, and the Suez Canal. In an interview with the Kuwaiti television station Al-Rai, Seyed Nasrallah called the verdicts of the Security Court in Cairo unjust and politicized, adding that as such, the political track was the way to address the matter. He added that relationships between Hezbollah and Egypt have not reached a deadlock.
We're hearing a different political ideology from the Egyptian Foreign Minister Ahmed Abolghaith, which came about after the Gaza war. Now we're seeing the Egyptian government trying to calm down the situation with their relations with Hezbollah and all of Lebanon.
This verdict comes amid intense diplomatic activity between Lebanon and Egypt. The latest examples being Egyptian Foreign Minister Abolghaith's visit on April 24th, followed by the Lebanese Prime Minister Saad Hariri's visit to the Egyptian resort town of Sharm el-Sheikh, where he met with Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak. Prime Minister Saad Hariri said that he also plans on working on this issue with Egyptian Foreign Minister Ahmed Abolghaith. He has said, though, that the situation should be handled very calmly. Meanwhile, the situation in Beirut seems very optimistic due to the absence of the death penalty. Serena Shim reporting for Press TV, Beirut.
Well, you're watching World News here on Press TV. Time for a quick reminder of the headlines this hour. U.S. press and its cleanup expenses in the Gulf of Mexico. The leaders of three Britain's main parties try to get more voter confidence in their final debate. And the French army says it has killed four Afghan civilians.